Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through chapter 11, verse 18. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the gift that it is to us, that it reveals so much about you, your love for us as your people, the great lengths that you are willing to go to demonstrate that love, that there is absolutely nothing in this world or outside of this world that can stop your love. And we are so thankful for that. We pray that you would be reminding of it this morning, that you would be opening us to all that you have to teach us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, we have been jumping in and out of the book of Acts for a long time now. We have kind of taken a long break from the book of Acts. The last time that we heard from the book of Acts, Amanda preached and did a really, really good job. Today's passage is the second half of that story, so we'll be touching on a little bit of what Amanda touched on. But so far in the book of Acts, we have seen Jesus with his disciples. We see him raised up into heaven after reminding them of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, that he's sending a helper. And we see the Holy Spirit descending as fire at Pentecost. And thousands of people, thousands of Jewish people from all across the world come to know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And it's the beginning of this outward movement of the gospel, beginning with the Jewish, those those Jews living in Jerusalem and the Hebrew-speaking Jews, then also to Jewish people living outside of Jerusalem and speaking a variety of languages. We see the church being attacked from inside and outside, that the devil is working hard against the plans of the church amidst this rapid growth. But every time the devil attacks in the book of Acts, we see that instead of it hurting the church, that the church experiences more and more explosive growth, that more and more people are coming to understand what it means to have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so the church continues to grow. And then we arrive at the story of Peter. There's no mistaking in this passage that God was confronting Peter's prejudice. Peter, like most Jews at the time, lumped all people into two groups: the Jews and then everyone else. And that the Jewish people had always been God's chosen people, and then there was everyone else. It was reflected in the way they worshiped, the way that they socialized, really all of their culture. And so we see that God is confronting Peter's heart, the way that he saw the rest of the world. The vision that Peter experienced was designed to bring a radical change of attitude and heart. And ultimately, it was a change that would radically change the church of Jesus Christ forever. We saw a demonstration of the beginning of the change in Peter's heart as he meets Cornelius. We see Peter willing to go, but as he arrives at the home of Cornelius, Cornelius falls on his feet, and it says he worships Peter. And Peter says, "Hey, wait a minute. Stand up. I'm just a man, just like you are. We're on the same page here." The word that is used for worship in this context here, the Greek word literally means to kiss towards, to pay homage towards. It was a way in which you might greet a deity or an angel or a person of religious distinction. And so Peter would have been within every right to receive such a greeting. It wasn't as if Cornelius was worshiping at him as God, but he was paying him this homage as being, you know, this holy man, this holy figure, recognizing him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter could have received that, but instead Peter says, "No, I am just a man just like you." There's an awful lot of tension here. There would have been much tension between the Jews and the Roman, racial, political, ethnic differences on both sides. And so not only do we see Peter's heart changing here in the way that he treats Cornelius, we also see Cornelius's heart being changed and that he has invited Peter to come to his home. And that he falls before him. Imagine that. A Roman citizen, a Roman of power, falling at the feet of a Jew. Culturally unheard of. Really, political suicide. But it demonstrates just how desperately Cornelius wanted to hear the truth. Peter had the receptive audience that many preachers long for. To show up amongst a group of people who have not yet heard the gospel, but are hungry for it, that are ready to hear it and believe it. I mean, that's something as Christians we long for, right? Is to meet a group of people where there isn't any fear about sharing the gospel or there isn't any reservations because they have asked us to come to share the good news with them. And Peter was prepared. He knew what to say. The people were prepared. God had been working on them long before this day. And the Holy Spirit was in control from beginning to end. Peter reviewed Christ's life, his death, his resurrection, his coming return as judge, and his offer of salvation. If you've ever wondered, how do I share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with someone? Here is a really good pattern for you. If this is good enough for an apostle in terms of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with unbelieving people, it certainly is not a bad model for us to use either. To share what we know of Jesus from the Bible, his life, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, that he is coming to judge, but that he offers salvation. Peter concluded in verse 43, "To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Everyone. Everyone. Everyone who believes and puts their faith in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins. Not just Jews, not just people who come to church, but everyone who places their hope and trust in Jesus Christ is saved. All that heard believed. What an amazing response. No altar call, no invitation. They simply believed and were born again on the spot. All of this is made possible because God set this in motion. The story of Peter is possible because God set things in motion. And verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 12, I believe it is, Peter, it says that he was accompanied by six brothers. Throughout the whole account, we hear that Peter is accompanied from Joppa to the home of Cornelius with brothers. But then in verse 12, it says that there were six of them with him. Why is that important? Because seven is the number of witnesses necessary to validate a cause. So six believers plus Peter is seven. Seven witnesses show up. It was crucial for the Jews to understand that Gentiles and Jews were on common ground. There was no denying that fact. Seven witnesses had seen it, including an apostle. That is credibility when you're talking about the movement of God. You know, when we look at Scripture and when the early church was deciding whether or not what books or what letters to include in the Holy Scriptures, one of the things that they looked at was, did it have an apostolic connection? Or was it written by or is it directly influenced by one of the apostles? And so for something to be witnessed by an apostle carries with it a high level of credibility. We see the first Gentile baptism, the first Gentile church service, and the first Gentile follow-up class. Peter's story takes up 77 verses to tell, and he repeats his vision twice, all to make sure that the Jews and we don't miss the point. News traveled fast then and it travels fast now, especially when something is controversial. When we whisper about something or whisper about something not so quietly. Well, news got back to the rest of the believers very quickly. And so when Peter shows up, they question him, "Why are you hanging out with these Gentiles? Why?" And it seems like such a silly question. I mean, Jesus hung out with Gentiles. Jesus did miracles, you know, healing, talk to, preach to, all sorts of people. But still, the early church doesn't quite have things figured out. I mean, even as Jesus is being raised up into heaven, it says that the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to share the good news with all people, all of the world. And they still haven't caught on yet. But they're beginning to. But we see that the other brothers, the other believers, they weren't really that upset that these Gentiles believers received grace. That's not the part that they are upset about. They're upset that Peter was associating with them. And it's such an interesting thing. You know, they didn't mind that these people now had salvation. They minded with the methods in which Peter used to get there. That he shouldn't have been talking to them in the first place. You know, I remember as a child my parents cautioning me about the friends that I would choose and how I might be perceived with the friends that I chose to hang out with, and I apparently did not listen to them very well because I suffered the repercussions of that for a lot of my life. But even now, you know, it's something that is talked about amongst Christians, and especially Christians who are viewed by the public, that we are often cautioned about where you're going to be seen, what you're going to be doing, the people that you're going to be spending time with. But the gospel is for everyone. And if we do not believe the gospel is inclusive, if we're not optimistic about what it will do, if we're not a little aggressive about sharing it, then people will not come to know Christ. There is no one whose life God cannot turn inside out. The Lord can even change entire families. Peter realized that nothing can help one's perspective like spending some time with people we view as being maybe a little bit below us. Peter's hang-up was really this racial, ethnic, political prejudice. And I would imagine that if we were to survey this room or the people watching online, many of you would say, "Well, I don't have that type of hang-up. I don't have prejudices." And I would agree with you. But then I would counter that with who are the people that you are not sharing the gospel with? And why? If you believe that it is true, if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ saves lives and that it is for every man, woman, and child on this planet, and there are people you are not sharing it with, why? Are you not sharing it because you're afraid that they won't receive it? Are you not sharing it because you're afraid that maybe there'll be some backlash? Are you afraid that you will be lumped into something like a Christian? that people might call you what you are? But what's your hang-up? The gospel is for everyone. You know, the very beginning of our church service, I encourage you in the coming weeks to maybe sit in the church pew like you were imagining that a visitor was going to come and visit our church. Sitting in order that somebody walking in for the first time might feel welcome. That they might see open seats. And I would imagine that for at least some of you, there was a momentary thought that went through your head that said, does that mean I'm going to have to sit somewhere else? Yeah. It might mean that. And I was reminded just a few weeks ago that that God will still find you. That it doesn't really matter where you are sitting. It's the same church service. But the reality is this, is our sanctuary only holds so many people. And we are nearing that number of people who attend church at Grace Community Fellowship. And that is awesome. That is a wonderful thing to be experienced. But if we are not even willing to move where we sit on Sunday morning in order that somebody visiting for the first time might hear the gospel message, then what do the rest of our lives look like? What other areas are we maybe not willing to make a little bit of room in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ with? And I'm just as guilty as anyone else. There are times where I just want to go through my life, where I want to go to the grocery store and I want to get out of there as quickly as possible. Or there's times where I'm being very much Drew and I am lost in some other world and I'll walk right past people that I know. We need to believe that the gospel is inclusive. We need to believe that it changes people's life. We need to believe that the Holy Spirit calls us and empowers us, motivates us and moves us and presents us with opportunities to share the good news with people. And that maybe we have to be a little bit inconvenienced every once in a while. Peter saw a dynamic response. Why? Quite simply, it's because he had a vision and he shared it. That God revealed something to him and he shared it. Now, many of us don't have actual visions of things like sheets descending with animals on them and God telling us to take and eat. But all of us in our Christian walk have had God reveal things to us. The truth of Scripture revealed to us in special ways. What has God revealed to you that needs to be shared? What has God done in your life that somebody else could benefit from hearing? Just add one word of caution here. That it is popular in certain circles of the church to say, I have had a vision. And there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing non-biblical about that. With the one caveat that if you have a vision, in order to say that it is from God, it needs to be in agreement with Scripture. Any change that God brings about will be consistent with His holy word. The Bible inspires change in us, in the world. We are part of the Reformation, We are a reformed church. A reformed church is simply that we are constantly looking at the Scripture and deciding whether or not the church needs to reform itself to look more like Christ, to look more like the description of what the church is supposed to look like in the Bible. That we study Scripture over and over and over again to glean the wisdom of God, because God is still breathing. That it is His Word, that it is the living Word of God, that there's the same exact words appear on the pages, but God communicates through them still, and He may have something special to tell you, something new to reveal to you. Maybe He has already done that. Maybe He has shown you just how much He loves you. Maybe He has shown you the miracles that He is capable of doing. Maybe you have seen His grace. Maybe things have appeared at just the right time. Maybe as simple as a song coming on the radio when you are sad and it makes you happy. God moves and works. And if the way that you see Him moving and working aligns with what the Bible says, then you should be telling people about it. God, it is amazing, God. He moves and works in miraculous ways. Do not discount even the small miracles. They are worth sharing. There is no one who is unworthy of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you think that they want to hear it or not, because the gospel calls us to love people. And one of the clearest demonstrations of our love for them is to reveal to them the way in which they might experience eternal life with a God who never stops loving them. So let us be bold and go and share the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the way that You move and work in this world, that You call us to action. That the life of a Christian is not always easy. In fact, we're promised the opposite. But in the midst of our suffering and our struggle, You go with us. That You provide us with hope. That You show us what peace looks like. That we are able to experience the infinite nature of Your love. And in that, You challenge us. You call us to go out and to share that love, to love the people around us. Help us to be bold. Help us to see people the way that You see people. That all are worthy because of the work that Jesus Christ did upon the cross. That Your blood is sufficient to cleanse us all. No matter what our life has looked like, no matter how hard our hearts are, You have the power to change them. And we thank You and we praise You for that. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.